Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Numbers, where we get into the stories that go beyond the stats. As always, I am one of your hosts, Ben, and this is Will.
Yeah.
All right, tonight we are going to pick up where we left off, talking about a recap of Week 13. Now, we are clearly, as everyone here knows, getting towards the end of the year. We only got a few months left of it. It does do my heart a great sadness for that, but it is as it is, and we are leading up to one of the biggest moments in all of sports time, in my opinion, that is the playoffs and the Super Bowl. But we're not there yet, and to continue off from where we were, I'm going to let Will take over on this first game, his Dolphins and the Saints.
Yes, sir. As always, we love to see the Dolphins do what they love to do.
And this did you say love to do?
Yes, they love to do these types of things, sir.
Is it winning? Because they seem fairly allergic to it.
I mean, they won, though, right?
Against one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure if,
you know, and it was close.
Mistaken, they won their last three games.
Teams aren't really playing them hard.
All right. Let's go ahead and just get into this game before he starts making more excuses, you everybody.
There's no excuses.
Achan pretty much was the domination factor in this game with 134 yards on the ground, sir. And then we got Tua. He didn't do too exceptionally well, but it didn't matter because he got it done on the, he got it done where it counted. Got him down the field. Riley Patterson did his thing. He got them to where they needed to be, sir. That's all I'm looking for out of the Dolphins, honestly. It's not like we're looking for a Super Bowl chance here. So I'm just looking for them to finish out their season strong, man. And that's exactly what they're doing. Last three games, like I said, they the one. They beat the Commanders in OT by three. They beat the Bills by 17 points.
That was their only good win. The Commanders is
They beat the what? Falcons. They beat the Falcons 34-10.
We're talking about the Falcons again. Oh, sir.
I'm just saying, in their wins, they've been pretty dominant. That's all.
I mean, beating the Commanders, you said it was what, by three in overtime? Commanders aren't even relevant. This year, they are irrelevant in every way, and the fact that you're taking that as a dominant win,
I take it as what it is.
Okay, I'll give you dominant as a bottom feeder. Okay, the Dolphins are one of the fraudulent teams this year, and they
see, I don't like that word. I don't like that word.
That is a great description of the Dolphins. Coming into the year, they were projected to be one of the better teams in the league. Really, it was going to come down to whether Tua was going to be okay or not. I'm not referring to health-wise. I'm referring to just competent. He has proven on almost every game that he is not. That really just says enough in and of itself. So, I mean,
like I said, I agree to disagree here. Because the Dolphins have definitely shown their worth in these last three few games, and last week was no different. The Saints got exactly what they deserved out of that.
Well, let's be clear: the Saints are a broken team. The Saints are a broken team, sir. They're running over. Tyler Shook is doing great. Giving him that chance, he's doing real well, in my opinion. But they are a broken team. The running game is a mess. Your offensive line is pitiful. And yet they really They only lost by four. They could have easily made that a win.
They could have made it a win, but they didn't. That's all that matters. Mm. That's all that matters. Like I said, I'm not looking like I'm. It's not like my Dolphins are the Broncos. You see what I'm saying? The Broncos, all their wins should matter, but none of them actually do. Like none of them are actually impressive.
I don't agree.
The Broncos haven't had a single impressive win this season. I
don't know. They put up 33 points in a fourth quarter earlier in the year to get a comeback win. And who was that against? Was it Dallas?
Yeah.
But like,
not impressive.
You can say all you want that's not impressive or that isn't relevant, but sir, their record speaks for itself. You can win every game by if you win every game by a couple of points, or if you win maybe half of your games by a wide margin. I'm going to take the team that wins every game.
I'll take the Dolphins every time over the Broncos. Matter of fact, I'd take the Broncos this year. I'd take the Dolphins this year over the Broncos this year.
That's travesty. That's just straight travesty. What do the Dolphins have? What have they proven this year? The Broncos were an underrated team, and they still win after win, week after week, they muster them wins up. I don't know what they got to prove to show that they are a team to beat.
They win impressively
by winning every game.
These sloppy wins is ridiculous.
Sloppy wins don't matter if you're winning and no other team has an answer for you. If no team has an answer for you, it does not matter.
You just made me throw my glasses across the room because what? Yes, they do. How do ugly wins not matter?
If you're winning every game, no matter how you get there, it doesn't matter because nobody has an answer. Sir, let's look at some of the stats about the Broncos right now because I'm going to tell you, I would have not seen this coming. First in the AFC West is insanity. You mean to tell me they're better than the Chiefs? That they're better than the Chargers? Like, I mean, bro, I don't.
The Raiders,
they are, though. Their record speaks for itself.
That's why I don't look at records. That's exactly why I don't look at records. Because they don't actually tell you the story. The story is the Broncos are trash.
Bro, their defense is one of the best defenses in the league. They lead in sacks. Now, granted, some of the other categories they definitely could do better on, but they're one of the best defenses. They disrupt quarterbacks. They disrupt running backs. They do the job that they need to do, and they give that offense that is so inconsistent, but yet so able to do what they need to do to win chance after chance. I mean, let's be clear. They're doing exactly what they need to do. There's nothing more for them to do. They've won these games. They're 10-2. They have one of the best records in the league right now. What do they have to do to winning a game? Winning a game by a blowout wouldn't matter because then you're just going to say, well, depending on what team it is, you're going to say, oh, okay, well, that's just to be expected.
I'm not you, sir. I'm not you. I don't just make excuses. I give props where it's due. If they actually impressed me in any of these wins, I would actually give them the proper due respect. But they have not impressed me, not one little bit this season. And I can guarantee you, wherever they fall at, I can tell you I saw it coming.
Listen, let's talk a little bit about this team and why their wins do matter. Bo Nix has not been great. He's got 19 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. He's thrown for 2,700 yards. Cortland Sutton, 50 catches, 5 touchdowns. 5 touchdowns in 12 games for 711 yards. Troy Franklin, who has had a spectacular come up this year, 48 catches, 530 yards, 5 touchdowns. J.K. Dobbins only ran 153 times, 772 yards, 4 touchdowns. R.J. Harvey, 74 runs, 279 yards, 4 touchdowns. This is not a team that's putting up a major amount of points, but they spread the ball around. And they do exactly what they need to do to win the game. These are not guys that are coming out here going, whoa, like we're going to just blow a team out. You don't have to. You win is win, whether it's 1 point, 10 points, 50 points. A win is still a win regardless. It doesn't matter, because if you can continue moving forward, taking your underdog victory week after week after week after week, I'm going to take that to the Super Bowl. Whereas the team that is struggling, you can't justify. I don't think you really can truly justify this, even though you try to think. I feel like you think you are, but you can't justify how the Broncos are doing so poorly, yet they're winning more games than almost every other team in the NFL by sometimes, even if it's a small score. I don't see how you can justify that.
Horrible. The Broncos are not impressive, right, sir. And I get it. Well, I get it. They're winning. And I said the same thing about the Chiefs last year. And what did they end up doing? Following.
I'm not saying they're going to get the Super Bowl, but I'm saying you got to give them their props. The underdogs are doing what they do.
They're not an underdog, though. They haven't been an underdog in any of these games. They've been projected to win.
They definitely have.
They've been projected to win and then haven't covered the spread. That's what the Broncos have done.
Okay. I mean, they've beat some much better, at least on paper, teams. But we aren't on the Broncos right now. We are still on the Dolphins and the Saints. And I'm going to still say I'll take the Dolphins or the Saints or the my brain doesn't recognize garbage. I will take the Broncos.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Broncos every week over those two teams right now.
Yeah, never that. But moving on, we need to get into the next game.
Falcons and Jets.
Honestly, saw this coming.
Good game.
I think Same. We both saw this
I
coming.
I called this one.
Yeah.
Yep, I know I called it on my parlay. I think I had two parlays with that on there, actually. Big win for the Jets.
And well-deserved, too. The Falcons didn't have all the pieces that they needed to win, and it showed during this game, honestly.
Here's my problem with the Falcons. It's they have the pieces on the field. I don't know that I believe that it's the players entirely. I'm becoming of the mind this is a coaching problem. I mean, Kirk Cousins wasn't elite. He wasn't, you know, Vikings level crazy good.
Wait, you're just now coming to this mind? I've been on that.
Well,
the problem.
I've said this before, but I think we were buried under I think it's been buried under their quarterback situation. Michael Penix in and out because of his ability to stay healthy, finding the receivers to do the job on the field. Bijan not getting everything going like he should have at certain points. You talked about how Bijan has been dialed back sometimes too often, how he wasn't getting unleashed. Kirk Cousins, he's a great quarterback in some capacities. And, I mean, he didn't do terrible in this game. He did okay. It wasn't like it was a blowout. But this is a – I believe more so than anything, considering what the Jets, what they did. I mean, Tyrod Taylor didn't do as good as Kirk Cousins. Breece Hall definitely didn't do as good as Bijan. Adonai Mitchell really – he was the only bright spot on the Jets offense, in my opinion, but I mean, he didn't do anything exceptionally better than anybody else, except he got a touchdown and a few more yards. But I mean, as a whole, the Jets offense wasn't any more electrifying, if anything, less so than the Falcons. Just happened to work in their favor that they got a little extra something here and there. And, you know, I just, it's coaching. It's got to be coaching.
Having possession, what you're doing when you have the ball, all of that stuff matters. And a lot of times I feel like coaches like skip over that aspect just to start calling some plays that they've been wanting to call instead of calling the plays that are actually necessary. I've said this about multiple teams over the past couple of weeks. It's that play calling is incredibly insane. There's no way that you see that they're stopping the run. And Saquon Barkley's been held to 30 yards in the first half, and you're still trying to run the ball. There's no way. And I use Saquon as an example, but multiple teams do this. Or you're throwing the ball to the exact same person every single time on the exact same down, on the exact same – like, it doesn't make sense. Like, let's get some play calls where it's repetitive, but it's not readable. Yes, you can go to the same person on the same drive, but you probably shouldn't put them in the same spot, right? Or yes, you can keep on running it up their throats, even though Saquon's only been held to 30. Why? But you should probably try to trick them a little bit more, right? A lot of these teams, they just, you know, the coaches – I feel like they're going with what they feel instead of what they know should happen. Because if I'm sitting at home watching this, you're on the sideline, sir. You should know. You know better than me.
Yep. I agree. I definitely think that the Falcons have something seriously wrong with them. And I think that it's a matter of time. I mean, this year is a wrap. And at this point, I'm not entirely of the mindset that they're gonna do anything next year either. But I mean, Raheem Morris is gonna go. There's almost no way that he's gonna retain his position as head coach. Makes no sense. I don't know. I think the Falcons have all the right pieces. They just need the coach to come in and actually take advantage of them. And I mean, that division, let's be honest, that division is a couple of good games away for the Falcons of them getting right back into it. The Bucks and the Panthers, they've got a few more wins, but I mean, they could start dropping. I mean, the Bucks have already proven that they're very suspect. The injuries have took their toll. The Panthers, they're suspect at all times. It's just all about if they get into rhythm or not. The Falcons, right now, they're sitting. I mean, the Saints are out of it. It's irrelevant. The Saints could win out from here on out and they're done. But the Falcons aren't entirely done. They have a shot. I don't think it's going to happen. But they need to figure something out and figure it out right now, and they need to win out. If they can win out, who knows? There could be a shot in the dark for them, at least a wild card spot. I doubt it. But coaching is their biggest flaw right now.
Completely agree. There's a lot of teams that I feel like coaching is actually their biggest flaw. And the Dolphins is one of them. I get that you may not feel that way, but I definitely feel like play calling on the Dolphins is questionable, to say the least.
It definitely is. Mike McDaniel's terrible. He rode on the whole hype train of his personality for like 2 years. And now everybody's seeing him as – because you got to think, he had Tua before he started falling apart with concussions. He had – Tyreek, Waddle, he had Raheem Mostert, I believe, in his elite, like, last great elite year. Dude was going ham at, like, what, 30-something years old? Every goal line touch was a touchdown type thing. Then he got Achane. I mean, he can be an elite running back at times. I mean, the defense in Miami hasn't always been the best, but I mean, it's always been good. I mean, Miami is an attractive team to go play for. Honestly, it amazes me how many times you don't see the Dolphins making as many splashes in free agency or in trades as they do. They really don't, because you got to think Miami, it's in Florida. It's a big city. It's a fun city. I mean, yeah, Tampa's not as fun. So like Miami, that Jacksonville, boring compared to, again, Miami. Why ain't Miami making these big splashes? But they did for a little bit. They got Tyreek Hill. After that, he had his little run there. Things fell apart, and he just ain't built back since. And I think the problem is Mike McDaniel is he's crashing down to earth hard. And I can see it on his face every time he goes out there to coach the team. And it's like,
I hate when he makes
maybe it's time for a new change.
Like, he didn't know that that was his fault. Like, he tries to blame his players. But in real life, like, bro, there's no way that you thought that that was the right play call. Like, it doesn't even make sense.
When he gets mad, it makes me laugh because I think about it. And I'm like, you know what? Pretty sure that's your fault, coach.
Like, bro, who are you mad at? You got to be mad at yourself right now.
Well, you know, them crazy glasses that he'd be wearing on that field, I think he needs to switch them out for some real glasses, because I'm pretty sure they don't have the right prescriptions in them lenses. But we do need to move along.
With the Rams?
Cardinals and
– oh.
Oh, you want to go into the – we already did the Rams.
Oh, we did.
We talked about the Rams.
The Rams and the Panthers last episode.
Yeah, we are on to the Cards and the Bucks.
Let's get it.
Okay. Now – This is a very big game for the Bucks, because like we were just talking about in that division, it's kind of no man's land down there. It's not a great division. The Panthers and the Falcons are sniffing at the tail of the Bucks. And right now the Panthers are looking to be the team that could make this their division. And Tampa needed this very ugly win. This is an ugly win. This is a team that should be outperforming. But they had an ugly win that they got, and they got it done. Now, some of this game is not all about defense. Sometimes you gotta figure out what you gotta do on offense, and that is time management, managing time of possession. You got to control the ball. You got to make the small plays. Bucky Irving had himself a good little game coming back out, 17-61. Bucky Irving's been on the injury list for a hot minute. So he came back. He got himself a touchdown. He's averaging, 3.6 yards? Like, he didn't do a lot, but he didn't do terrible. He didn't have any major problems. Baker Mayfield only threw for 194 yards, but he got a touchdown. No interceptions. A very clean game. Chris Godwin did all right. Now, I do believe that they had one of them that got hurt in this game. I can't remember. I think they had an injury, though. Was it
I'm actually not sure who it was.
Oh, crying out loud. Maybe it wasn't in this game. Maybe I'm just thinking it was. But I didn't watch this game fully. I watched some of the highlights of this game. I mean, Chris Godwin didn't do bad. Igbuka has definitely fell off. But injuries have taken a toll on this team.
I don't want to say that Igbuka fell off. I just think he's a rookie. I mean, he got his touches at the beginning of the season, but they need to focus. They have to focus on what, you know, as the team that they are, they have to focus on what they need to do to keep winning. You see what I'm saying? Now, would Igbuka still be an option? Yeah. But once again, he's a rookie and he can't be the only option. And at the beginning of the year, he pretty much was.
My only thing is he also led the receiving core in targets. He had 8. Again, the second closest was Godwin.
He was the main target. He was always the one that they went to. And, yeah, it's fine that he's that he's able to handle that, but they were bound to stop throwing it to him. Only throw it to him when they need to. If he's open in the red zone, cool. But, I mean, they're going to start blocking him. Basically – the beginning of the year made that man a target in multiple ways.
Well, I think he's still their primary target. I really do, mostly because right now he's leading the targets as a receiver. So on paper, he is actually one of the primary targets. And two, he is probably the most explosive. He tends to be able to go up and make the crazy plays. He has the ability to make some tough catches.
Honestly,
he's fast.
This is the first game that I didn't actually have the Bucs winning. I thought the Cardinals were going to take it, and I was almost right.
They almost did.
Yeah, I was almost right. I knew that the Bucs were going to come in here and struggle up against the Cardinals. The Cardinals have something that nobody is actually paying attention to as an underdog team. Now, of course, they're still taking losses. They're still...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
They're still struggling themselves, but they have what it takes to make a fight out of a team like the Buccaneers, because the Buccaneers are having their own form of struggles, just like the Bills. The Bills have taken some surprising losses this year, and it's all because, you know, they're having these little struggles, these little offensive struggles. And basically what you said is correct. They did what it took to actually win the game. They controlled the ball. They made sure that every possession that they had the ball. It looks like their time of possession in the first half, in the second quarter alone, was like 9 minutes. Like, they took care of what they needed to take care of and scored when they needed to.
Look, I think I don't disagree with you at all. I think you're right. I think this game was definitely – it was a rough game. From what I've seen, you could tell, like – I think when it came to comparing the quarterbacks, I think Jacoby Brissett did better than Baker Mayfield. I definitely don't think I would have Baker in the MVP talks anymore. I wouldn't put Jacoby Brissett in there by any stretch.
Baker was, and there's a reason why he's getting off that list now. The Buccaneers don't have they don't have that same spark that we saw at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. They were a scary team for a short period of time, and once they fell, them injuries took them down, and they went down hard. They've had Mike Evans out for like he's been out for a little bit. He's set to go into the 21-day return window. Coming off that, I believe it's a collarbone injury. So that ought to help boost their offense. But, man, they struggle. And that's where I think a lot of this boils down to, is they're leading their division, but it's a matter of time. So I think the Panthers are going to wind up taking it. I don't know that there's much – to go into the next game on, other than briefly the next two games, the Jags and the Titans and the Vikings and the Seahawks. I don't know if you have any thoughts and opinions on these two games.
My only thoughts and opinions on the Seahawks and the Vikings is this should have been a 60-0 game. And it wasn't strictly because of this sportsmanlike conduct rule, this unwritten rule where you got to stop scoring after the first half. Like, that is so bupkis. And there is 30 more minutes left in the game after the second half. 30 more minutes. And you mean to tell me that a team that, like the Seahawks, only got 2 field goals and a touchdown in the second half? 2 field goals and a touchdown in the first half as well. Like, come on, man. We're talking about a team that had the chance to dominate and didn't do it just because of some sportsmanlike stuff. I hate it. I hate it. It's the only thing I hate about the NFL.
I just want to put out here that my parlay was so close to being a hit on this. But Sam Darnold didn't throw a second touchdown, nor, more importantly, did he throw one. Kenneth Walker didn't get one.
That's because the Vikings are trash. They didn't have to do anything. They literally didn't have to do anything exactly. in this game.
They did nothing. I should have went with Charbonnet. Myself decided, you know what? I like Kenneth Walker's odds a little better, and I honestly think he might get in this week.
I think everybody had Kenneth Walker. A lot of people at least did.
And Smith and Jigba.
I had him. I had that man. I had Smith and Jigba too.
I don't know what it's going to – I don't know what it's going to take for the Seahawks to get into the get right for next week. But they should be embarrassed. Their offense was legitimately pathetic. One of these touchdowns was a defensive touchdown, sir.
There was a lot of that last week too. I hate that too. Yeah. Like, because once the defense take away a touchdown from the offense, pretty much. Because if the teams get if the game's not back and forth, the team's gonna stop scoring in the second half. Like, you can pretty much put a no touchdown score on all of these games for the second half. It's all field goals and turnovers. Like, I can't. It irritates me to my very soul. And then you have high
scores. Well, they played a bunch of backups. This game wasn't meant to go anywhere anyway.
You have a bunch of teams that have the potential to be high scoring every week, and they just don't. Just because the team that they're going up against is weaker than them. Dominate. Assert dominance at all times. This should not be a debate. This should really not be a discussion. This should be, okay, well, the Vikings aren't putting up any points. We got to put up all of them then. Like, there shouldn't be any other rhyme or reason for anything else.
Agreed. The Jacksonville-Tennessee game, there's not much to talk about. Travis Etienne did not do much of anything. Trevor Lawrence did whatever it is that Trevor Lawrence wants to do.
It was effective.
I don't really think there's a lot to say. They did exactly what they needed to do. They got the win. Myers and Strange both got touchdowns. Good for them. I mean, for the most part, the Jaguars continue to put up their level of dominance, and they are a team that does it. Cam Ward, my boy, you're going to have to figure something out next year. Man, you're going to have to beg them to release you. I mean, or you're going to have to beg them to give you some help. You ain't got nobody. Your situation there is pretty dire. You know, you got sacked three times, but then you look at the rushing game. Tony Pollard ran 10 times for 60 yards. Yay. Let's look at your receiving corps. Everybody's dropping the ball, and when they catch it, they're getting a few yards at a time out of it. You're dinking and dunking all the way down the field. At this point, I know they're sacrificing their year for the number one pick. I get it. Kudos to them. But, their defense got to step up. Their offense is fumbling the ball. They fumbled three times, lost it two times. I mean, it's like, come on. There ain't nothing on the Titans that are even worth talking about. So I'm gonna move on unless you got something to say about them.
No, free my boy Cam Ward up the pen.
You know what? You're right. As long as he don't go to Cleveland, you're right. Cleveland will end him. But the next game is one of those games where it's a divisional game, but divisional games aren't always ugly, I guess, and this is one of them that wasn't. That was the Chargers and the Raiders. The Chargers convincingly won this game, 31-14. Geno Smith, I don't even care at this point. The Raiders suck. Brock Bowers got both of the touchdowns from Geno Smith. They still suck. The Chargers, Justin Herbert, cool. Two touchdowns, one interception. Kamani Vidal, I mean, 25 for 126 and a touchdown. Ladd McConkey got himself a touchdown. I mean, yeah. At this point, it's like, yeah, I don't care. The Chargers are not, they're not winning the division. It ain't happening. For one, the Broncos pretty much have secured that. And two, I don't know. They're hoping that Herbert comes back to play against the Eagles because of his left hand. I believe it's a left hand injury. He has to have surgery on, or he is having surgery on. I think he actually had it today, if I recall. But Vidal, man, he is quietly turning into a great running back. Patterson got a touchdown. I mean, everyone did what they needed to do.
Completely agreed. I mean, the Chargers are not a scary team in my eyes, but they're an effective one. They're a team that if you let do something, they're going to. You have to control the Chargers. Otherwise, they could break out for incredible stuff. So, love the Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to Khalil Mack for getting a forced fumble. Good for him. Doing his thing. Jefferson got himself a pick. I mean, yeah, they honestly just do what they need to do. There's only a couple more games left, and I think these are some of the more important games, excluding Monday night. Monday night was what it was. Patriots destroyed the Giants. I don't even think there's anything to talk about other than the kicker, Koo. I don't know what his problem is, but he kicked the turf, and now he's blaming the holder. I don't even know. But 33-15, do you want to even get into that game? I think 33-15 tells us everything. It was the Patriots destroying the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. The Patriots did exactly what you thought that the Patriots were going to do. I think that the Patriots need to tighten it up just a tad bit if they want to do something serious in the playoffs, just based off of that game. But all in all, the Patriots are a real force right now. But there was a lot of errors in that game from Drake May, from Travion Stevenson. All of them performed well, but there were a lot of errors. There were some drops. There was some stuff that I see being a problem if they go up against some of these top-ranked teams going into the playoffs.
I agree. Okay. Last two games, the Bills and the Steelers, Broncos and the Commanders. Now, we've already done a lot of talking about the Broncos. They beat the Commanders by 1 point, 27-26.
I'm a little bit upset about that one because I had the Commanders winning that one. And they had it. It in their hands, and they dropped it.
But that's why the Broncos do what they've been doing all year. This game is exactly what the Broncos thrive on. You can't just do enough. You have to do more than enough because the Broncos will match you. That's the thing that's scary about the Broncos, and this is why I know your thoughts on it, but this is what is so valuable for them. They will match you. It may take them until the fourth quarter to do it. I mean, let's be honest, the Broncos didn't really need that this year or this week, but you know, the fourth quarter, actually, I'm sorry, they went to overtime. I didn't even realize this was an overtime game. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So it went into overtime. Second half win. Okay. 27-26. They will match you. They will find a way to match you every single time.
The only reason that the Broncos took this is because they didn't go for that PAT. They went for the two-point conversion, trying to get the win. I hate the way that the Broncos win, bro. And the way that they won this game is no different. Bo Nix and the Broncos played terribly. If you watch this game, they played terribly.
I've watched the Broncos suck many games this year. Just completely terrible. But they win. They lost two games at the beginning of the year, and they've not stopped winning since.
I'm not understanding the hype around Bo Nix anymore. Like, I get it.
Not Bo Nix. No, 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 no. It's not Bo Nix. It is not. It is the defense. That defense gives that offense the constant opportunities they need. That's what I'm talking about. Quarterbacks tremble when they have to play the Broncos. This is because the Broncos are nasty. They are one of the meanest, ugliest pass rushing defenses in the league, and probably, in my opinion, one of the best pass rushing defenses in recent history. They have been building that little bit of leverage over the last couple of years, and it is unstoppable. And that's the reality. If you're giving your quarterback as iffy as Bo Nix is, because he has some good games and he has some poor games, if you're giving J.K. Dobbins all these chances, or you're giving your quarterback time for a guy like Sutton or Franklin to get out there and make a play, it's going to happen eventually. Bo Nix is really their only real problem on offense. But on the flip side, he still does his job. I don't know that I would want to upset the balance that they've got. And it throws this off. What they've done it's a lot of luck. A lot of luck. Things going their way. Good calls in their favor. You know, last second plays, things like that. But it's also just there is a dynamic that Bo Nix shares with his receivers and with his running backs and with his offensive line. There's a lot of trust that he has, and he doesn't care if he throws an interception. He just airmails it, or he puts it right there in that window where he's like, okay, either you catch it or you don't. I'm not going to sit here and say if you put Bo Nix on any other team that he's going to be able to do the same thing. Whatever it is they've got in Denver, they've got it right. And the coaching situation could be part of that. I think whenever I'm looking at Denver, I think we're looking at a team that is managed really well. I think we're looking at a team which, mind you, they're under Sean Payton. He was a legendary coach back in the day in New Orleans. You've seen what he did with the Saints for many, many years. Granted, you know, he got in trouble for having a similar type of defense in New Orleans, he's paying his boys essentially to go out and mutilate a quarterback. But I don't agree that the Broncos aren't a credible team. I don't think that Bo Nix is the reason that they are. I think it's the rest of the team. And I think it's Sean Payton.
With the rest of the team, I actually understand why they're winning. It's just how they're winning doesn't look good. It doesn't look good at all. And
put Cam Ward in there.
Cam Ward actually might make it look good. It might look pretty.
Exactly.
It might just happen like that.
Yeah, boy, Cam, send him to Denver. Get him out of Tennessee.
Send that boy somewhere. Send Cam Ward somewhere where he's going to be appreciated and loved and valued.
And Sean Payton most certainly would, I think. He does like himself a good quarterback. Anyway, 27-26, the Commanders did their job and kept it down to a one-point loss. Their season's already over. So, hey, you know, they stayed relevant. The last game that we got here to talk about before we wrap this up is the Bills and the Steelers. I feel like you've been itching to talk about this game.
Not really, honestly.
No?
There's a reason, really. Because this wasn't like the full-on Bills and the Steelers experience that we would have gotten, you know, towards the beginning of the year. Like this game.
And why do you think that is?
Well, I mean, first off, let's start off with the Bills have been completely and totally lackluster, like beyond lackluster. Whatever the hell's going on with the Bills, I hope they figure it out soon because it has been an absolute bonfire over there. And I don't care what wins they have or what comparisons that you'll make for me. The Bills haven't had an actual good season this year. 8-4 does not sound good to me. But also, we're going to leave it up to the fact that Aaron Rodgers, even though I believe he had an early exit this game.
Yeah, he did.
I'm gonna leave.
Well, not early, but
it was a
early-ish.
Yeah, early-ish. Either way, the game. Aaron Rodgers was playing with one hand tied behind his back, and you could tell. The Steelers didn't look like the Steelers. Jaylen Warren was the only one that could make it into the end zone. And at the beginning of the year, I feel like this game would have went 30-30. Like, equal amount of points put up, it would have came down to the wire. It just couldn't do that at this point of the year.
I got you.
I like the Bills, though. I mean, they did appropriate, I guess. It's just sick of seeing Josh Allen being the only rushing touchdown. I'm sick of seeing the receivers drop balls or drop passes that, logically, they would have made last year without even hesitation. So, but that's just me.
All right, folks. Before we get out of here, I want to quickly go over a couple of picks of who to start and who to sit in fantasy football. We're coming into the playoff stretch for fantasy football. So this is where all your decisions matter the most. Really quickly, I'm going to go over a couple of hot ones to pick up on and probably start if you have the chance. I'm just going to do the quarterbacks. I'm not going to do anything else. I think that's one of the ones that a lot of people get caught up on because you get torn on how many quarterbacks you may have on your team. If it's a super flex, whatever. So if you have Patrick Mahomes against the Texans, I most certainly recommend starting him. I don't think it's really a question of why we should or shouldn't. Patrick Mahomes just had himself a phenomenal game, regardless of the outcome, throwing four touchdowns. So, going up against the Texans, I don't think he'll have a problem. And this is kind of one of those games where if they want to have a shot in the dark of going to the playoffs, they have to win. So I would definitely pick him. I would definitely pick Dak Prescott. Going up against the Detroit Lions can seem like a rather scary thing, but he scored 20 plus points in three straight games, which is really important. And out of the past nine, he's done that seven times. So he's very consistent this year. I think he will definitely stay hot because he knows that they also, just like Patrick Mahomes, have to win this game. And the Lions, they play man coverage at one of the highest rates in the NFL, and they just lost Terrion Arnold for the season. So George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb are about to go ham against man coverage. In fact, receivers, if you have one of the both of them, start them, at least one of them. Jared Goff, I would also start him against the Cowboys. I agree with this because I think we're talking about a team that knows they have to turn it around. The Cowboys have also allowed the most passing yards, touchdowns, and fantasy points per game to quarterbacks this year, which is a really crucial thing because when you're picking a defense, you're not picking Dallas hardly. You're picking Dallas on the hopes that they get some big play, a couple of good sacks or something. Talking about the Lions, Jared Goff does well under pressure. I would take him if you don't have Dak. The last one I would start actually is Jordan Love over the Bears. The only reason I say this is because Jordan Love has, he's been inconsistent. He is definitely doing really well when it comes to dealing against man coverage. He's third in yards, second in passing touchdowns. So I would definitely recommend taking him. Last couple of ones I'm going to say for sit. Lamar Jackson against the Steelers. I think it's pretty obvious as to why I would say to sit Lamar. I don't think we really need to say much. He's averaging 14.9 fantasy points per game against Pittsburgh over his career, and he's had a rough year as it is. So I would rather start really almost any other quarterback, honestly, over him if I was picking fantasy. Baker Mayfield, Jacoby Brissett, Matt Stafford, obviously, even though he isn't always the best in fantasy points. Or Joe Burrow coming back in. I might take him even. Justin Herbert, I definitely think he is going to need to sit. For one, he's dealing with the injury and the really just a rough offensive line. And really, at this point in the year, the Eagles, while they probably wouldn't be a terrible matchup for him, I just think that considering he hasn't hit 15 fantasy points in each of his last three games, this is not the time to do that, considering the Eagles have allowed the second fewest touchdown passes this year. And this is that point of the year where they have to get stronger and better to make the push for the playoffs and for what they, if they hope to repeat. And they are allowing a league low 51% completion rate since week 9. So, yeah, Daniel Jones, bench him. Don't take the chance. Caleb Williams against the Packers. Maybe. Jaden Daniels, definitely not. And that's all I've got. And do you have any final thoughts, sir?
Nope. Where there's a will, there's a way is not finished yet. So be looking for it next episode. Until then, let's get back to the bread, man.
See you.
Peace.